Jesus's parables, they serve a purpose. A little like when the Zen koan, K-O-A-N, they are riddles. And they say things like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? It isn't that there's a correct answer that springs into your mind so that you gain information that will increase your feeling of mystery over life. It's sort of the opposite of that. You go, one hand clapping? The hope is that you will find yourself transformed into new ways of thinking and being. It will start your pondering. And God calls each of us to change and to grow in our faith so that our life looks more like the wholeness of the life that God would have us be. Jesus explained God with unexplained stories, most of which lack neat endings or immediate apparent points that we can take to heart and go off into our life. It's as if Jesus says that God is amid the stuff of daily life, in the tug and the pull of the ordinary. But where's the point? Yet God is rarely self-evident or obvious, is he, in our day-to-day lives? Don't be troubled if you can't figure out each story in a parable, because the disciples who first heard them didn't either. Jesus comes across at times as this teacher whose greatest desire is not to pass out the right answers, but rather to tease and to provoke even more questions among us. Surely Jesus could have found a more effective mode of explaining his message, unless explaining was not his chief goal. So today's story from Matthew is the familiar tale of the seeds falling on many different kinds of ground, some rocky, some shallow. And usually we hear this story as one that challenges us to be better prepared to receive the seed of the gospel, to keep ourselves open always to God's word. We should cultivate ourselves through learning, study, and prayer. That's the ideal. And I can't disagree with these recommendations, but how many of us meet the ideal? How many of us are the perfect soil for cultivating wonderful crops in our lives for God? I visited Italy in the spring of 10 plus years ago. Actually, I think it's 20 plus now, but I didn't want to count that. And I still remember, though, I became fascinated with poppies. It was in the spring, and so there were poppies everywhere, and they seemed to spring up with the least soil or encouragement. But even more notable to me were wild snapdragons. Now, we don't see wild snapdragons around here. We have to plant them. So I took a picture of one that was growing in a tile gutter that was outside my hotel room window. One lone snapdragon, and it was in bloom. And whenever I look at that picture, I've never thrown it away. It'll mean nothing to anyone in my family. It makes me smile, though, so I keep it. Later in this same trip, when we visited an old temple, it was a temple to Dionysus in the town called Paestum in southern Italy. And there were the big columns still there, beginning to crumple. There were the snapdragons, growing out of the cracks that were like at least 50 feet up in the old crumbling columns of the temple. And I smiled. In order to grow in such adverse conditions, these flowers must have great determination, and they had a strong will to survive. Who do you know that's like these stubborn flowers or weeds? Who in your lifetime have you known that was determined to have a good life and to grow against tremendous odds? I've known some folks like that. Perhaps it is you or someone in your family. The good news of God's love survives in the midst of chaos and difficult situations. The good news of God's love continues unchanging throughout the ages. God's love, the single seed of love that is planted in each one of us, carries a continuing promise to always be available. Did you realize plants are the most potent, powerful creations of God? Think about it. If you don't believe me, I want you to go out and look at the cracks in your sidewalk. What is growing there? And it'll be there next year and the year after. A seed is a powerful thing indeed. Just a few trivial facts. Did you know that seeds can germinate after being stored for centuries? A seed of grain can yield 100 times its weight. Can we do that? Many of us hear this gospel and worry about what kind of ground we are on with God. Are we doing enough? We can start worrying about how many birds were in our field, how many rocks, how many thorns. We can worry about church, how the odds in the field are 3-1 against us. Think about that from the parable. Those are the odds in the parable. Or we could hear it as a challenge to be different, as a call to improve our lives. And that's a question that has a different answer for each one of us. We hear the story as if it is a story about us. But what if we're wrong? Or what if we might learn more by thinking about it a different way? What if it is not about us, but it's about the sower? If this is really a parable of the sower and not the parable of the different kinds of ground, because it is the parable of the sower, then it begins to sound quite new. The focus is not on us and our shortfalls, the places where we could improve, but on the generosity of our Maker. The prolific sower who does not obsess about the condition of the fields, who is not stingy with the seed, but who casts it everywhere, on good soil and bad, who is not cautious or judgmental or even very practical, but who seems willing to keep covering the whole creation with the fertile seeds of his truth. God's love as a seed may fall upon us when we are not ready, when we are not perfect, or we have not been cultivated. God's seed grows whether we are ready or not. This seed was planted in each of us before we were born. We may have to overcome tremendous barriers. We all encounter those during our lifetimes. Some of us will struggle mightily in order to grow. God asks us for a willing heart, a willing soul, a will to listen to the word of God. We are all receptacles waiting for cultivation. God's promise is to stand with us through the wind and through the rain and the hail and the drought with an assurance that we will emerge on the other side when we hold to our faith and God's grace towards us. The word of comfort to us, to whom the mission of the gospel is entrusted, is that the sower sows without worrying about the outcome. The seed of the gospel is potent, and God's harvest will be rich. God's harvest will be rich because, as Isaiah proclaimed, the word of God that goes forth from God will not return to God empty. What takes root in good soil bears fruit and yields 30, 60, or even 100-fold. Whenever we put our experiences of frustration and discouragement and uncertainty about the outcome into dialogue with the parable of the sower, we truly might hear the good news. Be aware of God in the world all the time and be open to the needs of others, along with God's desire to use us for the sake of others. With God's grace, we will produce a good harvest, the best we can if we make the effort. May we be as generous toward others as God is to us. Amen.